The E-Commerce Uncovered podcast is a behind-the-scenes look at what makes e-commerce a success in today's ever-growing and continually changing online world. The podcasts look to uncover the secrets of e-commerce success so you can learn and apply to your own online business. Brought to you by the co-founders of Core Fulfillment, one of the UK's leading e-commerce fulfillment providers, Paul Burns and Jeremy Vernon.
Hi, it's Jeremy Vernon here, and thank you for tuning in for E-Commerce Uncovered. Today, I'd like to welcome Stephen Oddie, founder and CEO of So Technology, who are an award-winning design and technology company. Stephen, many thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
In this episode, I'd like to talk about e-commerce platforms, if you wouldn't mind. Sure. Something we get, certainly in our business, we get asked a lot about. There's a lot of choice out there, isn't there, for the different types of platforms?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a bit of a minefield, I suppose.
Yeah, and a lot of people come to us and ask us which are the better platforms to use. Typically, we would always recommend the ones from an integration perspective, which are easier, for which is where we come from. Yep. But obviously, that's not necessarily the case for the retailer themselves. So if we could just talk a little bit about your experience with the platforms, we obviously can deep dive a little bit into how you do that and what you do in your business.
Sure thing.
Before we do that, I'd just like to explain a little bit how I've come across your company, really, and how we've come across So Technology. Discovered you guys through your work with Daniel Priestley. Mm-hmm. Now, Daniel is obviously an entrepreneur and best-selling author of 4 major titles, yep, which includes his latest book, 24 Assets. And I think that's the book, isn't it, that he mentions you guys in?
Yeah, I think it might be a couple, but definitely okay. That one, yeah.
Excellent. So that's obviously why we're talking. So that's how I know of you guys. So first and foremost, how did So Technology develop that relationship with Daniel?
I mean, SoTech's been around for 11 years now. I started the business in 2007. We started with pretty much zero portfolio and zero customers, one customer to be exact. And we use Google AdWords a lot to attract customers. We ended up building a website called Meet the Giants, actually, which was a membership site where people could become a member and download audio interviews with big entrepreneurs.
Okay.
And I believe Dan was either one of the entrepreneurs on there or had been approached by the site. He loved the site. He asked to be introduced to the developers of the site. And that was probably in around about 2009. So I think 8 or 9 years ago, we met Dan. We started working with him on his sites that he had at the time. And we've just built that relationship since then. So we've essentially been their only dev partner and design partner for that whole time. Even the book covers we've designed for him.
So were you involved with the Dent rebrand?
Yep, so we took care of the rebrand as well. So it was Intrivo. We created that branding initially as well. And then we created the Dent branding more recently with them. And we're still in the process of actually rebranding all their digital assets with the Dent branding.
So how has that relationship with Daniel changed your business?
Well, obviously, Dan is out there talking to hundreds, if not thousands, of small businesses all the time. And a good proportion of those businesses work really well with us and what we do. It's essentially just the perfect partner for us to find and help more people, basically.
And has it brought you quite a bit of business as a result of that relationship?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, there's probably times where you come into our office and have a look what's on everyone's screens and they're probably all someone who's gone through the Key Person of Influence program or yeah, going through the 24 Assets program. Even actually a lot of the mentors that are teaching Dan's programs end up using us to help them with their websites, okay, and their technology.
Excellent. Just before we sort of delve into the platform side of things, one of the things that I've noticed on your site, you use slightly different language to some digital agencies. Would you class yourself as a digital agency?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, we call ourselves a design technology company. We're not a marketing company, but we build digital assets.
Well, that's my point, really, is the word digital assets. Do you want to just sort of describe to the listeners what you would class as a digital asset?
there's so many tools out there that you can get up and running, and they're quick and they're cheap and they're free. And I think if you're just starting out, then making use of those tools is great, and you can grow your business, you know, maybe to, I don't know, just to pluck a figure out of the air, maybe $500,000 revenue by using these tools. But they're essentially not assets, you know, they're not things that are adding value to your business. You're probably adding value to someone else's business by using those tools. And so when you get to a certain size business, it becomes sensible to start looking at ways to build your own assets and create your own assets. And Dan is the expert on that with obviously his 24 assets program. But a good number of those 24 could be digital assets in some way, whether it's client portal or whether it's your e-com site or whether it's your own digital product. They are things that you own, and you own the IP, and they are genuinely adding value to your business.
Great, thank you. Okay, let's move on to platforms then.
Cool.
What platforms do you develop?
Funnily enough, I actually, before I started SoTech, my first business was an online retail business. We were selling funny t-shirts online. I was 17 at the time, we were still at school, started flogging them on eBay. And then I kind of learned how to build a site. We did actually use a platform then called like e-commerce templates or something. I bet they don't even exist anymore.
I've not heard of that.
No, but that got us up and running. And that's how I sort of cut my teeth. We grew that to the point where we were doing about 300 orders a day.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, that's pretty decent.
Yeah, we were shipping all over the world. We were actually picking, printing and packing and shipping the t-shirts all ourselves. So we had kind of a warehouse on our friend's farm. And after a few years, we sold that, and I started SoTech
What age were you when you sold your first business?
19.
Wow, 20, okay. I think, yeah. Impressive.
So that was our first customer. So we sold that, started SoTech, and the company's called Char Grilled. It's still going now. It's been sold again, but it's still going now. And I believe it's still sat on the same systems that we created back then. Mm. Obviously, since then, times have changed quite a lot. There's lots of new platforms that didn't exist then, and lots of new ways of doing things that didn't exist then. And we feel like we have kind of ridden that wave as best as possible and kept up with the times as best as possible. So I remember even 8 or 9 years ago, we actually built a couple of fully bespoke e-commerce sites, which is kind of a bit unheard of now. You'd be pretty crazy to start from scratch.
We still have a couple of customers that come to us with completely bespoke setups. And you do wonder why, when there's so much good stuff out there,
absolutely,
that they choose to do that.
I do think maybe 7 or 8 years ago, it might have seemed like a sensible thing to do, but I would find it hard to come up with a reason to start from a complete blank canvas now, when there's so many different frameworks and systems that you can use. So yeah, so we've kind of got over that phase, and we don't do that anymore. We love WordPress. We use WordPress a lot for B2B sites and for more of our sort of content-led sites.
Yeah. So is it from an e-commerce perspective, is it the WooCommerce side of WordPress that you use?
Yeah, we have done. We have done in the past, and we will still recommend that and set that up for people if it's right for them. WooCommerce is, I actually still hear a lot of people talking about it, and if anything, it's getting better and better. But essentially, it's a plugin that's extending WordPress to do something it was never originally intended to do. WordPress is, like I say, we love it. It's amazing for building content-led sites and for content management of, you know, of images and text. And WooCommerce does make that quite good at then becoming at selling things. You have a shopping cart, and you can find products and you can add to your cart and you can check out, which is all stuff that WordPress doesn't do without the WooCommerce extension. But being a bit of a techie myself, I kind of understand the database structure, and I understand the code, and I understand the logic that sits behind that. And I just know it's like just trying to make it do something it's not originally intended to do. And I just know that as you scale up, as you grow, the database structure that sits behind that is going to start to fall over and it's going to start to struggle. And what that's going to end up looking like is you're going to need a lot of server resource to keep it fast. Things like searching for products isn't going to be as sophisticated as like a platform that is dedicated to e-commerce.
Yeah.
And from a management perspective, as if you're the owner of the site, you know, even just for you, merchandising the site, adding products to the site, dealing with stock on the site, dealing with orders, if you get a big flow of orders through, it's all going to become a bit awkward. It's just not made to for purpose, basically.
So from a scaling perspective, what would you...
Yeah, so I mean, when people come to me and say we're thinking about WooCommerce or, you know, some other platforms, if you've got, say, 5 products that you sell, WordPress is probably right for that, and you probably don't even need WooCommerce for that, because you could just people... If you've got 5 products, it's probably like a customizable thing where you want to build a bit of a custom customizer of the product and have a custom calculator, a bit like you've got on yep. your site, yep. you know. Yep. And the checkout facilities can be plugged into that quite easily without the need of the big WooCommerce extension. If you've got maybe, say, 50 products or 100 products, then I think you could still get away with WooCommerce, and that will probably serve your purpose really well. It's going to be, you know, there are advantages to it. It is quick and it is easy and it's cheap to get set up. I think once you go beyond that, you do need to start looking at a purpose-built e-commerce platform. There's various options. I think you've got your Shopify's and your BigCommerce, which are SaaS products, as we call them. So they're software as a service. You can sign up. It's generally quite cheap, monthly fee. You can get up and running pretty quickly. There's lots of templates, and you could literally go and set up this afternoon and you could sell something tonight.
They worry about the hosting and all that sort of stuff. You don't need to worry about
that. Yeah, it's actually a big worry off of your shoulders. They're great. And anyone who's starting up and they've kind of identified that they want an e-com set up as opposed to, you know, 5 sales pages on a WordPress website, then I would highly recommend Shopify and BigCommerce. And if you're trialing it out, perfect. You know, you're not losing too much investment if it doesn't work or you need to stop and change.
So what's the typical investment? So say someone's coming to you with that they want Shopify, you recommend Shopify. I know it's how long is a piece of string at times, but what's the typical investment to get up and running for a reasonably decent transactional site?
Well, I guess first thing to say is you could get away with probably not spending anything with an agency, like as much as I probably shouldn't go around promoting that. But if you are a real startup phase, you know, go and sign yourself up, pick one of the great templates that are already there, put your content into it. That is going to be a good base for you to actually start selling. I think once you've got a flow of customers and you may, you're perhaps taking it a bit more seriously, then, yeah, recruit an agency to customize a template for you so that it becomes your own your own design and it sets you out slightly differently from competition. I think you could spend around about 10K to 20K doing that, maybe, top end, really. It does depend how heavily. You could probably spend quite a lot more if you really did want to go a complete bespoke design and then have someone figure out how to build that into the Shopify templating engine.
Yeah. Okay, Shopify have sort of 2 main offers now. They probably have a little bit more than that, but they have the Shopify and what they call Shopify Plus.
Yeah.
Just explain the difference between those two.
So I think they recognize that people get to a stage where they feel like Shopify, they're outgrowing Shopify and they might need to move into something that they have more control over or more security with. And I think Shopify Plus is their answer to that. I think you can customize a bit more of the platform. You've got more control over where it's situated, where it's hosted, so your customer data and that kind of thing. As far as I'm aware, like, it is a very similar platform though to Shopify.
Okay. My understanding is, and certainly if you go onto Shopify's site, Shopify Plus actually mentions Magento and sort of the investment you need to make for Magento, which presumably is obviously another option that we could talk about.
Absolutely.
How do you think Shopify Plus compares to something like Magento?
Ultimately, if you want to be in ultimate control of your site and your system, then Magento is going to be that choice. I think Shopify Plus probably does tick some of the boxes for people that are processing more money through Shopify. It gives you some more peace of mind that you're in control of things, but essentially you are still on their platform and they're in control. If Shopify were to go bust or disappear, your site's gone as well. So, you know, it's not a concern if you're just starting out, but actually if you've grown your business and you're doing a few million plus revenue and you're on someone else's platform, you're completely dependent on them. So that's where something like Magento comes into it. Magento, yep, higher setup costs undoubtedly, and it needs to be done properly. And all of the things that Shopify kind of take off of your plate or off of your shoulders, like the hosting and the security and that side of things, suddenly becomes your problem. But it's at the advantage that you're in overall control, basically.
Magento have released relatively recently Magento 2.
Yep.
What's the difference between Magento and Magento 2?
Magento 2 is actually basically a full rebuild. They've taken the one platform and just, over a long period of time, like rewritten the whole thing. So it's using more modern framework. It's using better data structure. Search is better. It's faster. It's just been built in a more modern way. So moving forwards, it's going to give you much more longevity. You're going to be able to host it on modern servers and modern infrastructure and know that it's going to sit on there quite happily, as well as they've brought a lot more features into it as well.
Okay. For people that are currently on a Magento site, maybe they're growing and they need to look at sort of developing that. Mm. Is there an easy migration from Magento 1 to Magento 2, considering what you've just said?
Yeah, no, not really. It's almost like a re-platform, and that's, no one really wants to admit that or like accept that. There's a lot of brands, there's a lot of companies out there that have invested a lot of money into their Magento 1 platform and they're faced with the prospect of the move to Magento 2. Now, that Magento 1 platform that they've got could probably last them for a much longer period of time. Like I said, at my original business that set up in 2005, 2006, is still running on some very old tech, and it probably needs a bit of TLC every now and then to keep it going, but it is still there and it is still doable. So it's not like, you know, it's not like you've got a gun to your head having to move.
They're not going to switch Magento off.
No, that's kind of one of those core benefits of Magento. You're in control. You've bought that software from Magento and you've put it on your servers and you can run it for as long as you possibly would like. But, you know, maybe 10 years from now, it's going to become so costly to have that old unsupported tech up and running that it becomes sensible to move over to Magento 2. But if you've done any customizations in Magento 1, they probably need to be rewritten to work into the Magento 2 framework. All the stuff you've done with the template and the design would need to be rewritten into Magento 2 platform. So it's not going to sugarcoat it and say it would be a small project. You know, Magento don't either. So they know they're asking a lot of their merchants to make that move. And they did originally say, you know, we're cutting off support of Magento 1. I think the date might have even passed that they originally said, but they suddenly realized that that wasn't going to be possible. And I think they've set it back to maybe end of next year or the year after. So they're going to continue to support the Magento 1 platform for a while. So okay. No one's got to get too worried about it, but it definitely needs to be on people's minds. And there's going to come a point where it is going to be actually the most sensible option to re-platform.
Okay. Have you got any sort of case studies or examples of a Magento 2 site that you developed?
Yeah, well, the first Magento 2 site that we developed was for Tom Dixon. He's in the sort of interior design world, furniture design world. He's super famous. He's a British designer. He creates really beautiful lighting and furniture. And they were on Magento 1, but the project wasn't for them just to re-platform to Magento 2 because they felt they had to. It was that they weren't happy with the performance of their Magento 1 site. It wasn't doing what they wanted to do as a brand. In fact, I remember going through the process with them initially that they were looking around at what different platforms to use and, you know, eventually decided that Magento 2 was the right platform. That was probably 18 months ago, maybe 2 years ago.
Okay.
18 months ago. Magento 2 was still very new then. I would say it's slightly more mature now and it's working a lot better. But back then, there wasn't many extensions that you could go and use on the marketplace, and there were still issues with it. So we had a lot of work to do on that. But actually, we ended up with a really great result for them on Magento 2. We submitted it to Magento for their awards that they hold in Vegas every year, and it actually won the best Magento 2 website there. So that was April last year. I got to go to Vegas and pick up that award. So that was really cool.
Congratulations. Thank you. Great result.
Yeah, yeah.
So just in terms of the benefit to Tom Dixon yep. brand, I've actually got some stats here that you quote. I mean, what sort of benefits did he see as a result of the Magento 2 development?
Yeah, well, undoubtedly they just inherited benefits from the Magento 2 platform. I think a big part of the uplift that they got in conversion rate and sales came from the redesign that we did. So partly the platform, partly what we did with the platform. We went through a fairly lengthy process with them, helping them figure out how to structure their content and how to... One of their biggest parts of their brief was how to integrate their brand stories and their brand content into the shopping experience. And I think that is actually a big challenge for brands, because big brands have generally got lots of content and lots of things that they want to say and share with their customers. And weaving that into the e-commerce experience isn't something any platform does particularly well. And so that's something we spent a lot of time with Tom Dixon working on. And we figured out a really nice structure for them to get their stories about the product families into the product pages in a way where there was like this kind of like closed loop, where if you were on a product page and you clicked on to say the family stories, you quite quickly got back to the product once you'd absorbed that content, and you know, you didn't get lost in there. You didn't get taken away from the e-com platform over to this content platform and then get stuck and not find your way back. So that was a big part of the design and the strategy that we helped them with. And as a result, they got a great uplift in conversion rate very quickly. I think, you know, we got up at 3 a.m. or something to launch the site for them. And literally by the end of that day, you could see an immediate increase in their conversion rate.
Yeah, I mean, I've got some stats from your site on that particular case study. Just go through these. This is obviously from period November 2016 to February 2017.
Yep.
Conversion up by 84%.
Yeah.
Bounce rate down by 10%. Time on site up by 8%. Yep. And revenue across the site up by 115%.
That's crazy.
That's quite a return on investment he got there then.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. And I think that's just when you do put the time and the thought into how you put something together like that, I think they are the genuine benefits you can get. You know, some of the stuff was just simple, you know, like their old site was slow. It was Magento 1 it's not Magento 1's fault. It was the way it was kind of set up and the way it had been configured. But
lots of plugins and things like that, was it?
Exactly, yeah. And the caching hadn't been configured properly. And it's funny because it was a big agency that set that up, a big Magento agency. So I'm not quite sure how it ended up the way it was, but it was a bit of a mess, and it was just slow, you know. So even just fixing that one issue, like with day one, Magento 2, it was set up and page loads were half a second or whatever. I imagine a big uplift in the conversion rate is attributed to just that one simple thing.
And I presume if you've got recommendations for anyone, that's an easy thing to look at straight away of any site, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's Google tools, isn't there, that show you page load times and things like that?
Yeah, definitely. Site speeds, I mean, it's probably, everyone's probably heard about it, and it's kind of an obvious one, yet so many people still struggle with it and don't take it seriously enough. And actually, if you're going with Shopify, it's one of those things that's their problem, and they absolutely nail it, in my opinion. You know, I can tell as soon as I'm on a site and it's a Shopify site, and it's fast, and that is one of the big advantages of doing that. Magento is a big bit of kit, and if you're taking that Magento platform and setting it up for yourself, it needs to be set up properly, needs to be set up on proper hosting. I would recommend going to a hosting company that specializes in hosting Magento, as opposed to, you know, a generic hosting company that will host anything, because they will help set it up in a specific way that will be fast, basically. And that makes a big difference.
Great. Sort of developing e-commerce sites, are you seeing any sort of new emerging trends that you think will have an effect on how future sort of conversions for e-commerce sites? Are you seeing anything that's changing?
The one thing I mentioned about integrating content into the experience, I think that is something that is still a challenge and people are still figuring out how to do. And I think that makes a big difference. So that would be one thing. In terms of kind of technology, obviously mobile experience can still be a bit awkward. I still don't enjoy buying stuff on my phone on most people's sites. It's still all a bit awkward. So advancements in that side of things. Magento actually are putting a lot of effort into what we call PWA, Progressive Web Apps.
Okay.
And this is where essentially the mobile version of your website can essentially be almost like an app that you've installed on your phone. So you can actually add the icon onto your home screen like it's an app. It can work in offline mode almost as well as online mode. And that is a very new technology. Google are leading the development of that. Magento and Google put quite a lot of events on together to kind of show how that technology can be used in Magento and how that's developing. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. Okay. I think I can't quite work out in my mind whether everything's going to become an app or whether everything's just going to become a website and PWA will win. But definitely some big companies and big tech companies investing a lot of time and energy into the PWA route. So that could be really interesting.
Okay. What would you say then to wrap up on the platform side of things? What would you say are the ingredients of a high-performing and converting e-commerce site?
Obviously, we're talking about platform. It's really important to get the right platform. A lot of the platforms can be customized in any way you want. But having said that, the platform itself will dictate what the end result looks like and how it works and how it performs. And so finding the right one for your size business and your product is probably the first place to start. Second thing I'd probably say is content structure. I mean, it seems like probably not such an obvious thing or seemingly an important thing, but I think that was one of the big things we fixed with Tom Dixon, was just the way we organized the content and structured the content so that those important user journeys were just nice and simple and people could find their way around and get to what they needed to get to. I think as an e-commerce business, something you have to kind of decide on is how you categorize all your stuff. You know, if you've only got a handful of products, it's probably not so much of a problem, but as soon as you've got 100 products or so, you've got to figure out how to structure your site so that people can find their way around in a sensible way. So I think that's quite a big one. I think having the right budget, and this probably goes back to platform as well, choosing the right platform for your budget. If you've not got much budget, but you try and use Magento and you're trying to start with a completely bespoke design, you're probably not going to get where you want to be. I think, you know, if you've got low budget, start with a platform like Shopify. Actually, probably don't spend too much time customizing it and spend the money on marketing and driving traffic to it.
Great, thank you. Just a few sort of random quick questions at the end, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So yeah, I've covered quite a bit on the platform, so thank you for that. Just on the sort of e-commerce website platform side of things, if you could have designed it, and you obviously haven't, but is there a website, e-commerce platform, so not platform itself, but an e-commerce business that you wish you'd designed that website?
There's a couple. One I almost kind of hate to say because it's, you know, the one that's taking over, but Amazon, from a technology perspective, I love, you know, you can think of something you want and 30 seconds later you've bought it, you know.
All right, so you might talk about it at home and next minute they're asking you whether you want to order it.
Yeah, exactly. That's a little bit weird. Yeah. But yeah, from a tech perspective, it's amazing. In terms of just kind of like a design and more of a retail experience, because let's face it, the Amazon site doesn't look very great. And actually, we've all just got used to it and it's easy to use, but it's not a very nicely put together looking site. I don't shop for clothes regularly online, but ASOS, I think, are absolutely nailing it as well. When I do shop online, I am kind of like analyzing the experience because I'm kind of in that industry and that sort of thing I look out for. And yeah, the experience on ASOS is slick. They seem to be ticking a lot of the right boxes. I can tell, yeah, even just simple things like if the last thing you've ordered was a load of men's clothes, if you go to ASOS.com, you go straight to the men's category. You know, they don't ask you to choose whether it's simple things like that. And I'm sure they have much more complex things than that going on in the background to help recommend products and choices to you. So you can just tell they're on it.
Okay. You've mentioned Amazon.
Yep.
Which obviously is everywhere.
Has to be mentioned.
I just recently read a book called The Four by Scott Galloway, which is talking about the four big sort of tech companies of the last decade or so.
Yeah.
Obviously, Amazon, Facebook, Google and Apple. Obviously, there's a big section on there about Amazon and Amazon's sort of big plan, pretty much to take over the world. How do you think, or how do you see the sort of independent e-commerce retailers and Amazon in the future? Is Amazon going to get rid of everything and we'll buy everything from Amazon? Or do you think there's a happy medium somewhere?
I think there is a happy medium. I think there is still a place for independent retailers to operate outside of Amazon. From what I can see now, the biggest way to do that is still a convenience factor, but obviously not necessarily convenience around shipping or checking out and that kind of thing. But maybe just on choice, like we were actually with a customer earlier this week who is another interior designer, and they're putting together an online retail store to sell some of the products that he uses in his designs. And Amazon is never going to be that place. Like, you're never going to go to Amazon and find out about interior design and what products work well together. And for me, I know that's just one example, but it's just a glaringly obvious example where if you're looking for some products to put in your home, or you're looking for advice, or you want some help from a professional to help you choose what's right, you're not going to get that from Amazon. You go to the interior design site, you see the products that he uses, you trust that person. Yeah. It's convenient because it's all there together. You add it to your cart and you buy there. And yeah, I just don't see Amazon ever fulfilling that need.
I think certainly my opinion, sometimes if you don't know what you're buying, Amazon can be quite confusing.
That's exactly it.
If you do know what you're buying, very simple, very convenient.
Yeah, you just summed up what I was trying to get to in a few words there. Yeah, perfect.
Okay, great. A couple of things. I know, obviously, sort of looking at your business, you've won quite a few awards. You mentioned, obviously, the award that the Tom Dixon site brought you, which obviously is fantastic. As a sort of a business owner, which do you get the biggest kick out of? Happy customers or the recognition that awards bring to you?
Happy customers, definitely. Definitely. The awards, they're great, but I take it or leave it. Honestly, they're nice just to show that we are a serious company. At the end of the day, we're a small company, and sometimes, we go in and pitch to clients where they've had, 200 people agencies or 1,000 people agencies, and it is hard to throw your weight about in those situations. So the awards do help with that, no doubt about it. But all about the happy customer, for sure. The awards just like a side effect.
Okay, a nice one to have.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Obviously, if anyone sort of wants to get in contact with you guys and So Technology, how's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, jump on the site, fill in the form on the site, our telephone number's on the site as well. We're here waiting to help people.
Just remind us of the site address.
Yeah, it's sotechnology.co.uk.
Okay.
SO Technology, yeah, my initials.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, well, again, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And wish you all the very best.
Thank you.